The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything about your health that you'd like to know about, you know, without drugs, without surgery. Here's the place. This is what we do. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Let's make it happen. We have a very, very powerful, very interesting program today, and someone who's been on the air quite regularly lately, and particularly since I've been goofing off, or I mean, you know, going to conferences and things of that nature, none other than Dr. Stephanie Pina. Welcome, Dr. Pina.
Welcome back.
I know. I'm back in the saddle, so to speak, right? So,
you know, we switched seats, really.
We did. We're still here, but you're on that side. You know, I know one of these days you guys are going to railroad me. And you're going to try to interview me on the program.
We've already done that.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. I've been threatening to do it again, but we'll see. It depends. But the program, I'm excited about your program today, and you're going to be our host, our presenter this coming Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, actually the 21st of August. We were just saying how fast the summer is going by, and kids are going back to school this week, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. But you're going to be talking about supporting patients who have been diagnosed with cancer and are undergoing other therapeutics, traditional allopathic procedures, and other things as well. And the truth of it is that in that arena, if you will, in the cancer arena, this devastating condition that everybody's so afraid of, it really has to do with a lot of things. It has immunological considerations from the get-go, because that's the only reason things generally happen to people. But now they're going through a process that the treatment by itself can be very debilitating, devastating to immunological response, and it's critical that we keep it up at a very strong level. So, you know, let's talk about what natural medicine, and obviously you're a doctor of naturopathic medicine, and you are an acupuncturist, and you have a breadth and width of understanding in that arena that very few people ever have. So let's kind of walk into this. You know, why, to begin with, you know, is it critical that in anybody that goes into treating cancer, you know, has to have a support system other than let's kill the thing and, you know, we'll worry about what happens later?
Well, it's interesting because I think patients have known that when they've gone in, and they've luckily people usually have a support system around them with their friends and their families, and sometimes those are the people that are giving them information and saying, hey, we need to look at other resources as well too. But patients have started to realize that they needed to do something a little bit on their own. And the ones that come to find us and ask these questions about what else can I do, what can I do to prevent these side effects, my doctor hasn't talked to these, or, you know, how do I keep my health up? That's been a major issue over years and years of decades, and it hasn't been well accepted in the oncology community, basically. It's my way or the highway, and this is the only treatment we have. And the big three, the surgical, the chemotherapy, and the radiation, has kind of been about it. So now when we understand a little bit more on the mechanisms of how drugs and herbs work together, how drugs and nutrients work together, the availability of other pain-related techniques and therapies, we're taking some of the information that we would use to treat other healthcare conditions and apply them to the cancer patient, because if you don't have your baseline health, how can you go through such an aggressive treatment? And that's who we're really here to support, as well as the family around them, because we see the toll that caretakers have while they're supporting these patients as well too. So really, even though it's supporting you through your cancer journey, it can be the whole family, it can be the friends as well. They're basically kind of helping you with your treatment.
It's a community effort. It's really something that you have to bring the best of a lot of different worlds together to make sure that you get through the process. You know, I explain to patients what happens when they go through aggressive treatment of cancer or virtually anything else. And I liken it, you know, to an athlete. an athlete that is in amazing shape, and think about it, we're in NFL season coming up in a couple of weeks, right? And these guys are getting clobbered constantly. It's like a Mack truck hitting them every play. So what happens to them? Here's a guy, you know, he's a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, and they're weighing in somewhere in the neighborhood of about, you know, 300 pounds, you know, 6 foot something, and they have a body fat around, you know, 8-9%. I mean, these are behemoths. They're amazing. And they're getting hit equally, right? So here's this impact. Now, because of the condition that they're in and the strength that they have in their bodies, yeah, it hurts and it rattles their brain, and we know what the consequences is or are. So think about it in someone who has not been in shape, somebody who doesn't work out that way, who doesn't have the body mass, and they get hit just as badly. What happens to that person if they were on that offensive line with an NFL player coming after them? They'd be dead. They'd kill them.
Absolutely. And thinking of that hit, like from the offensive line being like the chemotherapy drug that's coming at you, you don't just have one hit. You've got two, three, four doing multiple things at the same time because they want to try to eliminate the cancer as much as possible. But where are you in the baseline? Plus, don't forget what you had to do outside off the field.
Exactly.
You know, you got to think about your other health conditions as well, too. So having someone that can kind of track those those comorbidities and things that are going on, you know, how is your blood sugar handling? How is your energy? How's your sleep? If those aren't in perfect plays, they're not the things that are now necessarily the side effects from the chemotherapy, but that's going to add to it. So it's another set of eyes and another team member basically to kind of help look at your overall health and say, how can you get through this particular therapy? But then what are you left with the other side? At the end of the game, are you going to be crawling off the field or are you going to say, let's go on to the next game because playoffs are coming?
Or been taken off with an ambulance.
Exactly.
And to the to the morgue. Because that's how, you know, the cancer therapies, particularly, you know, in times gone by, they're doing a little bit more now with genetic matching. But back in the day, the surgery, you know, okay, so we're going to remove something and hope and pray that it hasn't spread someplace else. The radiation is going to destroy bones, going to destroy tissue. Radiation, interesting side effect, causes cancer. So I'm saying, oh, okay. And then oncological, you know, chemistry, they're putting that's designed to kill the cancer cell because supposedly it's a weakened cell before this poison that they're putting in your system kills you. And, you know, am I being a little bit descriptive? Yes, but that's the truth. I mean, if your body's immunological system, and this is what we're going to talk about today, isn't strong, then subsequently, guess what happens? You start breaking down even faster and you end up succumbing in many cases to the side effects of the approach more so than the condition itself. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, none other than the person who I'd love to have standing in for me because her breadth and knowledge is amazing, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We're talking about supporting you through your journey and cancer treatment. You know, you may have breast cancer, prostate cancer, or bone cancer, or, you know, God forbid, other places, whether it's your colon and your lungs and the like. But there's a way of optimizing your ability and knowing more about what it is that you can protect yourself. This Wednesday evening, the 21st of this month, Dr. Stephanie Pina, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax, will be your host, your presenter. And those of you who've heard her before know that you're not going to go away empty-handed. You're going to go away with a tremendous amount of data and information. So join us. All you have to do is go to rosellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, rosellecare.com, or simply call the office at 703-698-7117 and reserve a seat, and we will call to make sure that you're coming and confirm so we can be prepared for you. Dr. Pina, let's go through this maze a little bit. And first, you know, we're going to get much more specific, but why is it important, truly, really, you know, we touched on a little bit to make sure that we support patients that are going through. Is their outcome different? Are the results more permanent lasting? Let's touch on those first. There's a lot of questions I can ask you.
Well, there's a lot of research that's come out because everyone wants science-based research. And what's interesting is there's a ton of research that's come out between different products to using, different nutrients, herbs, also different techniques such as mind-body techniques, like acupuncture, qigong, tai chi, looking at different therapies on how do you actually work on someone's survival rate? No matter what the cancer is, how do you improve survival rate and also quality of life? Because quality of life is not just, oh, I can get up in the morning and function and I'm cancer free, but it's what are you doing with that life? Are you able to live a normal life? Are you able to live it without the side effects? So what we're looking at is how do you support a system that's going to be kind of constantly under stress over and over and over again. And unfortunately, with chemotherapy treatments, radiation treatments, surgery, I guess, is a little, in some ways, you have the surgery, you have a treatment after that, but it's kind of one and done. How do you support something in the long haul, too? Because this isn't just fix one day. This is almost, you have to look at treating cancer and oncology patients like it's a chronic disease, because basically it is. It's how do you support where they are at different stages through that, through their diagnosis, through their early stage treatment and their active therapies, and then also through their recovery and the remission stages as well, too. A lot of patients come in and then they're worried if they've recovered from cancer and they're in the remission stage, is it going to return? What do I do now? What do I do if I have a family member that also has the same kind of genetic makeup as me? They had cancer and I didn't. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration. But the great thing is that some of the larger treatment centers that are out there are the ones doing some of these research that we can pull some of that off of, because those centers aren't available for everyone else the way we have the Rozelle Center here, where we can help support it.
You know, we've had the opportunity to meet many different practitioners from virtually all over the planet. And there are things that are being done outside the United States that are not being recognized here in this country for a lot of reasons. I can get into that, but we won't poke the tiger in the eye today, even though that I'd like to. But at the end of the day, what happens is that if you don't respect the body's immunological responses, you touched a little bit on an area we call epigenetics. You know, great grandma has cancer, mom had cancer, aunt had cancer, and, you know, or same thing in the arena with men, you know, prostate cancer just seems to run in my family. Well, not so much. You may have the gene, and here's the other piece that I want to touch upon in the second half of the program, is that if you support it properly, meaning you support the body's journey through this, you know, getting rid of this cancer, quote unquote, and you get the body to not adversely respond, this epigenetic environment, meaning that your nutritional patterns, your biochemical, your bioelectrical, your emotional, your neurological system are balanced properly, then that system has not only the opportunity of not expressing the cancer, but also healing the cancer faster. We got about a minute and a half, but I want to ask you one question that'll lead into some of the other things I want to talk about. Why is it critical that somebody who has cancer immediately and significantly shift their body alkaline?
There are so many things that are involved with that. And really, when you look at it, if the body's in an alkaline state, first of all, cancer loves acid, so it's going to grow more. It's going to like to get the oxidative, the redoxive reduction. So basically what it's going to do is create more cancer cells. But in an acid state, we don't absorb some of the trace minerals and stuff that we need to grow regular normal cells. So you're kind of adding to the pieces as well, too. Some of those vitamins and nutrients, we have receptors already for them, so we can optimize that for any kind of treatment. But when you look at it, it's getting the body in any kind of shape that's going to be prepared for going into whether it's surgery, whether it's chemotherapy, whether it's radiation, is really trying to optimize their health no matter what's going on.
My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina, we're talking about supporting you through your journey with cancer treatment. And there's a way of optimizing that, making sure that you come down the other end of the tunnel with greater ability to make sure that you're going to stay healthy. This Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be your host, your presenter. This is the topic. So if you have any questions, give us a call, go online, register today. But more importantly, stay tuned and give us a call if you have an immediate something that you'd like to have answered. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio after being away for a little bit of time. But anyway, you know, everybody's got to get out, right? Except I was teaching all last week down in Florida. It was a fun presentation. I was talking about the biochemical considerations of chronic pain syndromes and fibromyalgia. It was an interesting group of people. It was about 80-85 doctors in my class who were concurrent at this convention. So I have a tendency to want to shake people up, and I did. I did what I usually do, so it was fun. In studio, your voice of recognition, my co-host when I'm not here, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Dr. Pina is a doctor of naturopathic medicine. She's an acupuncturist. She has breadth and width of nutrition. And we're talking about something that fits the scale on so many different fronts. It's supporting your journey through cancer treatment. You know, so many of you have had the unfortunate experience of having different types of cancers, whether they're breast cancers, ladies, prostate cancers, lung cancer, intestinal tract cancer, and so forth. And some of you have struggled, and sometimes you come out the other end worse than what you started the process with, and you wonder, oh, my God, what did I do this for? And the truth of it is that many chemotherapeutic procedures and radiation and cuttings and so forth, a combination of all those things, debilitate and cause the body to weaken. And subsequently, your immunological system begins to falter. Well, this Wednesday evening, the 21st of August, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing, Dr. Stephanie Pina will walk you through the weeds, but more importantly, show you what can be done for you to have the best chance of supporting that process so you come out the other end whole. Dr. Pina, again, welcome. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, we have a few minutes before we come to the middle portion of the program. Why? I'm going to go back to why is it important that we look at this patient not only from an oncological point of view, but from a supportive natural platform to get them through the process?
Well, we know that something happened to set off this cancer cell growth. And so what that diagnosis is, we can look at that ahead of time and say, how can we prevent diseases from happening? How can we not only cancer, but chronic diseases that can lead to it? I mean, we talked a little bit last time, I think I was on the air with you, we were talking about autoimmune diseases.
Yes.
And looking at the fact that some of the treatments for autoimmune diseases are cancer drugs, and so they can cause cancers later on. So is the body more flawed because of the autoimmune disease that led to a chronic illness that led to this cancer development? That's not something that's always looked at. So we're kind of trying to look at things ahead of time. While they're in active treatment, what kind of side effects are they having from medications that, you know, oh, I'm taking another drug for the anti-nausea. I'm taking another drug to have vomiting issues.
And they stack one on top of the other.
They stack and they have side effects as well, too. So where is that all going? That's all going to the digestive tract. That's all going to the liver. So how do we look and support the digestive system and the detoxification pathway so that you can make it through the active treatment, but then also afterwards when we have a better chance to say, how do we repair and support the body? So it's important to understand that at any stage of your cancer journey, you can make changes. It's just identifying them and figuring out what's the best thing that works for you optimally as an individual with your type of cancer that may be very different from someone else that has the exact same type of cancer, because your body makeup is going to be very different from somebody else's. That's the tricky part. And sometimes when there aren't supplements or aren't, like, you can, the dietary part always tends to be the hard part, because if you're not hungry because of your chemotherapy, you're not going to want to eat. So how do you put the good nutrients in? So that's when we have to look at things from another perspective. Do we do something like homeopathy and acupuncture to help support the body in those processes when we can't use a supplement, when we can't use a therapy that might interact? So it's not only the knowledge of knowing what works with the conventional medicine mindset of what they want to do with their treatment, but where are you in this process? Where's your side effects and everything that's going on, and how else can we support the body? The things that we're not even thinking of on the air now.
True.
But the things that we think of that when you're in front of me and the patient's actually saying, I have this issue,
and making,
how do we do it?
And making sure that you walk through the history of the patient and the exposures they have, because the cancer, and this is something people have to understand, cancer is the end byproduct of something that's happened prior to this. And it's accumulation of things over a period of time. It's a stacking event. It's a breakdown of the body's inability to fight. You said so many of these drugs, and particularly biologicals and immune suppressants, their side effect is cancer. And, you know, when you're dealing with those kind of situations, and you have to get the brain and the mind, you know, to work together. The brain is the chemistry. The mind is the decision-making element. I want to touch upon that a little bit when we get into the second half of the program. But you're so absolutely right on spot when it comes to, you know, making sure that we understand what's happened to this body that allow it to be predisposed, susceptible, if you will, that allowed this cancer not to get them, but this cancer to show up, which is an end byproduct of cellular failure, if you will. And, you know, we're going out, we're trying to find the cure, the way of attacking this thing, when the cure in general is within the body if you support it properly. We're not saying that decisions shouldn't be made to do traditional work. We're saying that you have a whole lot of other options to make sure that you turn this around. This Wednesday evening, the 21st, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be your host, supporting you through your cancer journey. We're coming up to the midpoint of the program. We have a lot of data that we're going to cover for you in the second half, so don't go away. Enjoy the program. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are in studio on this very, again, hot Washington, D.C. metro day. Yeah, it's hot, man. Where did this weather come from? It's like craziness. I think we live in Arizona where you went to school, Dr. Stephanie.
But it's a dry heat in Arizona.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true,
too. Maybe 120, but it's a dry heat.
120. I can't even begin to imagine it. We were down there for Leadership to Legacy Conference last year, right? And it was like hot. And I'm saying, oh, my God, but you're right. It wasn't bad at all. You get outside, nice, get cool. It's actually very pleasant. However, we're living in Washington. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Amazing doctor. It's a pleasure to have her with us because we get the opportunity to support so many other patients from a viewpoint of natural medicine. You know her to be a doctor of naturopathic medicine. You know her to have background in traditional Chinese medicine. She's an acupuncturist. She knows herbal medicine. And we're talking about something that's right up her alley, and that's treating cancer, your stuff that you're going to the traditional community with, supporting it, making you stronger so you can get through the journey through natural methods and getting that immunological system up and running. This Wednesday evening, the 21st at the Rozelle Center for Healing, that's the topic. That's what, and she'll be your presenter. So we'd love to have you as a guest. All you got to do is go online, rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. Or simply 703-698-7117. Dr. Pina, let's get into a couple of things we talked about. You know, we have to support immunological response. I know you're going to get into that in depth this Wednesday evening. We talked a little bit why that's important. Somebody goes into chemotherapeutics and traditional treatment, and if their body's not strong or not being supported along the way, they're going to crash. So here's a situation. I'm going to draw it from cancers that are estrogen positive titers, and there are many different estrogen markers, right? And first I want to start out with prostate cancer and breast cancer have a tremendous amount of similarities, simply starting with that the tissue of breast and prostate are genetically the same. And so they're going to be more susceptible to things like estrogens, and we call those aromatase receptors. So let's walk through that. And, you know, one of the ways that they treat all these things in both, they do surgery, they do radiation, they do chemotherapeutics, you know, and all of this, in my opinion, is, you know, breaks the body down. But they use a drug, and it's called an aromatase inhibitor. And that's after the fact, after treatment's all done. Well, we're going to put you on this aromatase inhibitor. Back in the day, it was things like tamoxifen. And there's a host of them now. And they're going to put you on 3 to 5 years. Why could that be problematic for a patient in either situation?
Well, it's interesting in both those situations with breast and prostate cancer, which we also have to think of, there's more male breast cancer as well being diagnosed too. And one of the things that we have to look at is the fact that if you went through this aggressive treatment before, like we said, what are we setting up for? It's hormone-based. You're not shutting down your hormones when that cancer therapy is over. They're kind of moderating them. Where does those moderations go to? What other things can that pick up with? There's other side effects with it, too. The idea of some of those medications is that they're trying to keep the cancers from regrowing, re-responding to the hormones that are already in our bodies. But we need those hormones as well, too. So a lot of the times when you're looking at patients, especially breast cancer patients that are on something like tamoxifen, because that's what a lot of people are familiar with, there's other ways to support the system, because in some ways it's like they're going to get menopausal symptoms. They're going to get that heat, like hot flashes, Their sleep can be affected. The things that regulate the hormone and endocrine system are now being disjointed because something else has taken over, which is basically the medication. So we need to basically help control that from a hormone standpoint, but also what's the tissues that are being affected by it too. Same thing when we're talking about cortisol levels and how does cortisol affect almost every function of the body. We have to make sure that we have everything in balance because otherwise cortisol is just going to keep ramping up. And when you have a medication that you're now going to be on from 3 to 5 years, which is supposed to be when they're stopping some of these medications, but then sometimes it's, well, let's add the next one in or let's do something else because another medication's come up. That is going to set up a long time for anything else to start to develop during those 3 to 5 years. So there should be something that should be supporting the body during that time other than just that simple medication.
And what people don't understand is the exposure is not only blocking the effect of the estrogens in the body, but, you know, you have to look at, I'm going to back up just a little bit, but it can cause all kinds of things like loss of calcium within the bone structure. Women have been known to lose a lot of height. It's something that you really have to keep an eye on, but support properly and making sure that the body doesn't go through all these things. But here you've got a situation where if we have an estrogen type of problem, the question becomes, is it the patient's estrogen or is it environmental estrogen, something that we call xenoestrogenics, right? And then we have to look at a couple other things, and we have to look at testosterone effect on that as well. But I'm going to get into what they do with males back in the day, where they used to give them very high levels of estrogens or plant radioactive seeds in the prostate to cure the thing. The problem is it causes so much other damage and shortens their longevity. That's statistics. That's data. But here's this, you know, environmental plastics and the stuff that they put in animals and so forth. So my question to you is somebody that's going through cancer therapy and they're saying that it's an estrogen titer cancer and they're using the aromatase inhibitors, they're using chemotherapeutics, the traditional, you know, cut and drug situation. How important is it that they eliminate environmental estrogens as much as totally as possible?
It's very important. And some of the base swings on there are looking at what is your normal exposure going to be? What is your diet going to be? If you're in a spot where you're going to get a continuous cancer care over those 5 years, basically what you have to look at is how can I make the rest of the body as clean as possible? That's the baseline. You can't get any more basic than that. Then you need to look at what's the history been and think about the things outside of the box. I mean, that's really what our job is to do, is to think about not only how you're responding to that medication, but things outside the box, like you said, the xenoestrogens. But also, how is your body responding to it? Is it different than everyone else so that it looks like it's overlooked? If someone has a low-grade fever, is that a normal immune response for them, or is that relationship as a side effect to the medication? Or is your body saying, hey, I'm trying to give you another signal that something else is going wrong? So there's a lot of different things that we need to look at in order to make the body as clean as possible during that time, because like I said, 5 years is a long time, and what's going to happen in the meantime is there's probably going to be a new drug that comes out that looks better than the last one, has fewer side effects, is more potent, so let's switch you off there, but we don't know what the side effects of that one will be.
You know, I grew up in an area of Western New York State where it was amazing how many different types of cancers existed in that environment. And when you see hospitals like Roswell Park Memorial Hospital out of Buffalo, New York, and the question that has to be why there, that's a cancer research-based hospital. There's other areas in the country as well. But when you start dissecting the environment and the exposures, it begins to form clues. And so the clues in that area, I mean, many of us, my age group and younger and older, remember Love Canal out of Buffalo, New York, and the exposures that and the cancers that came about. But also Bethlehem Steel. They had the smelting pot for steel industry for years in that area. So now you have coal-burning furnaces that are going to give off mercuric oxide, which is highly damaging and carcinogenic to the body. You have 13-plus at the time toxic waste sites in an artesian water system that was leaching into our drinking water. You had low level of low cloud covers, so you didn't have a lot of sunlight. Matter of fact, Paul Harvey back in the day, one of the talking heads on the radio, said that Chautauqua County, New York, Western New York, was famous for two things. One, it had the least number of days of sunshine of any place else in the United States continental United States, and no one had ever been convicted of first-degree murder, but that's a different story we can get into later on. So my question is this to you. Given those areas, given the acid rain coming in from Ohio into that area, but one question I want to have you, how critical is it when you're treating a cancer patient to make sure that their vitamin D level is normal?
Oh, it's very critical. There are studies that even during treatment that their vitamin D levels are going to drop even more. So if they're going into their treatment with a low vitamin D level, their survival rates have dropped. Even boosting vitamin D levels a little bit higher above the, you know, 30 is kind of the cutoff as far as, you know, a healthy person not having enough vitamin D. They've looked at if someone had 10, so it's really not even an active level, but to increase it from there, survival rates have gone up 30 to 40%. So looking at vitamin D level, just whether it's boosting the immune system or giving a fat-soluble vitamin or however it's going to work in the body, no matter what the cancer is really, really important. But the great thing is that that's a simple lab test that can be done in the office. There are other lab tests that can be done looking at liver enzymes, looking at blood sugar to also make sure you're optimizing your body health and also as predictors that there might be something going on that's different than, say, running cancer tumor markers.
You know, it's crazy. We're sitting here, we're going through all this stuff, and, you know, we're just touching the surface. And I know this Wednesday evening, you're going to get far more in depth than we're talking about right now. So listen, you know, my friends, if you have the unfortunate experience right now, or somebody in your family or somebody that you love is going through cancer treatment, they know that they have it, and, you know, if you really want their outcome to be enhanced by supportive care, this is an opportunity to really get details on the subject. This Wednesday evening, the 21st of the month, August, at the Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax, all you got to do is go online, go to rosellecare.com and register, or simply call the office at 703-698-7117 and register. And if you'd like to talk to Dr. Pina right here, right now, 888-620-9625. This is a subject that we need to know as much as we possibly can know about, because it comes to this one very pivotal place. You are in control. Instead of just saying this is standard of care, this is what we do under these circumstances, you need to know how to support yourself. If you make the decision to do traditional treatment, allopathic treatment, you have to make sure your body is prepared. You know, we talked about vitamin D just a second ago, Dr. Pina, and, you know, the truth of it is that most people in this area, about 75%+ of the population, is minimally vitamin D insufficient. And the markers are, in, you know, depends on the lab, from 30 to 32 to 100, they consider normal. But that's not true. In functional medicine, anything under 50, 49 or less, is considered insufficient. 32 or less is highly deficient. And, you know, that's, but unfortunately, in traditional approach, if you're not breaking bones, it doesn't make a difference. Here's one product, one substance, one vitamin in the body that can make a huge difference in outcome and how the body responds to all kinds of things. So let me ask you a question. Is it dangerous to give vitamin D during cancer treatment?
That's the one thing that I like about vitamins, like basic vitamins like vitamin D, because you do want to make sure you're working with somebody who knows what the levels should be, as also monitoring them. So sometimes when you're during treatments where you've got a lot going on with all these different biologicals and you're even changing your diet and you may have supplements and everything in there and you have different protocols and everything's constantly under flux, this is where it's actually good to check and monitor vitamin D levels on a monthly basis instead of a 3-month basis, because you want to see what your blood levels are to make sure that they're constantly at a supportive level. But one of the interesting things I think about vitamins, and especially another vitamin that always gets thrown into the pool when it comes to cancer, is vitamin C. And you have the B vitamins and stuff too that support our normal cell functions, is that we have receptors for those in the body. Unlike when we start to get to some of the more, I'll say, advanced herbal products or these constituents of herbs that have been drawn out that make much more complex products, and now you really have to work with somebody who knows what they're doing in order to take them. Those receptors already exist in the body. So basically the body's saying, just give me what I need, and then we can start to make some changes. So do we still have to tweak it and be careful? Sure. It doesn't mean we run out and just grab a bottle of vitamin C and start taking it whenever you want, because timing, no matter what the treatment is, but timing of when you take these things can be very, very important.
That's very important. And the thing that is that vitamin C, we'll take that one only. And remember, I'm just talking about vitamin C. It's a water-soluble vitamin, and your kidney filters it at a rate of 1.66 milligrams per minute. That's not used in the body. So if you throw a whole lot of it in all at one time, your body's going to say, oh, time out. I got to get rid of some of this stuff. Only because it's not being utilized. And side effect of vitamin C is you make sure you're close to the bathroom, because you're going to get really loose bowel very quickly if you have too much, if you're susceptible to it. You know, and when I tell patients and doctors as well that I'll put patients on up to 25,000 milligrams a day, but divided doses slowly over a period of time where they're sipping on it. And again, don't go out and do this. Just understand that you're not, the only side effect is bowel irritation. So, but it's needed, as you say, the receptors demand it, they have to have it. And why vitamin C? Well, it stimulates your cells to produce something called interferon. And interferon is an anti-carcinogenic, and it's used across the board. And then you have the next step after that, which they use in many natural cancer centers. Again, we're talking about supportive care here, and they use Laetril and the like. So we're talking about immunological support more than anything else, correct?
Right. And just like with, just to bring out vitamin C again, what's interesting is that, you know, there is that bowel tolerance level. So we can only digestively take on so much at one point when we take it in one dose, and also in divided doses. So different types of herbal supplements or other supplements that have been out there that have been used need to be taken not only at certain times, but at certain effective doses in order to get their anti-cancer properties. So we read a lot of time, oh, this is going to be anti-cancer, but the dose needs to be the same. A lot of these herbal doses tend to be taken in other ways, like IV or injection as well, too. So there's a whole nother mechanism is the way that comes by.
This is fascinating. It's a topic that we're trying to learn more and more about as far as the science begins to continue to advance, things that we've known about anecdotally and clinically for many, many years. But you had the opportunity this Wednesday evening of learning from one of the best when it comes to supportive care and learning how you can make your journey through cancer a whole lot better. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. We'd like to thank all of you for listening. Those of you who are across the country and you're taking the time throughout your day to, you know, either go on a podcast to listen, or those of you who listen live. And, you know, most importantly, and I don't ever want to neglect saluting and thanking our men and women in the armed forces, because you're listening and we get the notes and you reach out and we try our best that we can to get back to you. If you have a question, you can always call the office at 703-698-7117 instead of asking for an email return. And let's talk to one of our doctors. They will be happy to return your phone call and give you the data that you need to have. My guest today in studio has been none other than Dr. Stephanie Pina, brilliance personified. And this Wednesday evening, her program, her presentation is going to be supporting you through your journey, your cancer journey. And, you know, whether you have breast cancer, prostate cancer, bowel cancer, lung cancer, bone cancer, it's important that you enter the process of whatever you decide to do with the greatest amount of immunological support as you possibly can. And as we were trying to bring out with, you know, the different pieces of the puzzle today, but this Wednesday evening, it's going to be unbelievable. Dr. Pina, let's talk about, you know, really what you're going to cover this Wednesday evening, because I know it's, you could talk on this. I should give you 4 hours, but, you know, we're not going to do 4 hours Wednesday
evening. We'll start with one.
Okay.
So we were just saying we haven't done a cancer support in-house lecture for either a really long time or at all. And that's why now is even more the moment, because more information comes out now of all the different things that we can support, from mind-body techniques to nutrition to the really basics, not only to help the patients who are worried about, am I going to come down with cancer? My family has issues. What do I do to start preventing it? But through active therapy, through recovery and remission, there are things that we pick up in our office because of our observation skills, because of the way we practice functional medicine, that are basically different than what the oncologist is looking for, different than what a primary care doctor is looking at. But we can utilize certain tests that kind of are on your general blood scores that we can look at. We can look at things that are being overlooked that are common side effects from cancer therapies that really haven't been given any look at. And like things like lymphedema, which is a whole nother topic that I like. But looking at that, looking at fatigue, looking at hot flashes, night sweats, insomnias, all of these are common therapies, are common side effects that come from different types of cancer therapies that sometimes patients are left alone and say, you're just going to have to deal with it. What's the risk and benefit factor? So when I always look at how to support a cancer therapy, we have to think of risk, benefits, and balance, and basically think of how do we best support the person in front of me during their cancer goals and their treatments, instead of just saying you have to be like everyone else and just do what you're told by your oncologist or your other doctors.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy when there's so much that is really available to support immunological response and get you through that journey easier. And, you know, there are certain things that you need to be aware of. There are certain things that you need to have the data, the background, so you can make a properly informed decision instead of just standard of care. There's things that you can do if you make decisions, you know, to do chemotherapeutics and radiation and so forth. What can you do to allow your body to optimize and to heal as maximally as it possibly can? That's the whole purpose behind this. This Wednesday evening, the 21st, all you got to do is call the office, call Roselle Care, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, Roselle Care, .com, and register online. We'll call you and confirm, and or simply call the office, 703-698-7117, and tell them that you want to be present and be there with us. And I promise you, you're going to go home with data, you're going to go home with information, you're going to go home with the ability to be guided and supported in your journey to make sure that you're optimized. So if you're suffering, you know, with an unfortunate cancer, you have somebody in your family, you have a friend that's there, grab them and bring them in, and I promise you, you won't be disappointed. We're coming up to the break where we have to say we'll see you next week. I love you all. Bye.